So let's welcome to the program Aisha Siddiqo, who's an independent political analyst and author of Military Inc., Inside Pakistan's Military Economy. She joins us by Skype from Islamabad, Pakistan. Aisha, good morning.
Good morning.
And Christine Fair, of course, a familiar voice to the program here, assistant professor at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University, just back from Pakistan, joining us from Washington, D.C. Christine, good morning to you.
Good morning to you and to Aisha.
Well, let's mix it up. I mean, what is going on in Pakistan? We had Gilani speaking yesterday saying that the U.S. is to blame for the creation of al-Qaeda and trying to do some damage control politically in a speech before Parliament. Aisha, what's going on in Pakistan this morning?
Well, the political government is extremely worried for its own safety. They were never in the driving seat anyway, as far as these matters, war and terror, war in general and defense matters go. So they were worried because, you know, voices are being raised. The former foreign minister, Shah Mahmood Qureshi, calling for the prime minister to resign. You know, several voices. So the political government is worried. And what it's trying to do with its limited capacity is to save its own neck. It knows that it cannot do much because the military would jump on it. So what it's trying to do is save itself.
We're speaking with Aisha Siddiqui, who's independent political analyst, author of Military Inc., Inside Pakistan's Military Economy. She's on the line, on the Skype line, live from Islamabad, Pakistan. Christine Fair, does this undermine the civilian government in Pakistan? And is the assumption broadly in Pakistan that someone in the military or even the ISI maybe knew where bin Laden was and possibly even dropped the ball?
Boy, I mean, that's just a tough set of questions to answer. In terms of what they knew or they didn't know, I'm actually being incredibly adamant that we not speculate. And the reason why I'm saying that is that the stakes are really high. I mean, with every end speculation, Congress gets itself into a further lather about cutting off Pakistan, and I think that would be a disastrous choice. The fact is, if the United States government had been monitoring that house, as we believe they have since August, and since there was a CIA monitoring cell right across the street from, you know, his bizarre lair, we should have concrete evidence about who was interacting with that house who may or may not have had contacts with parts of the Pakistani government. So if we have that information, then the U.S. officials need to come forward and say that. Now, obviously, there's source protection issues, but they should be able to say, we've been monitoring the house since August, and this is what we know. And on the basis of what we've learned, this is what we say about complicity of the Pakistan government. If they don't have that evidence, then the pointless speculation really needs to stop because the consequences of this are just too high. It's high for our Congress, which is really this is now the 10th year, and subsequent Congresses have been increasingly frustrated with Pakistan taking money and not fulfilling the obligations that was expected of it.
Although, Christine, let me just interrupt you there. You know Michael Scheuer, right?
Yes,
the head of the bin Laden group inside the CIA for many, many years, mm-hmm. and has written about bin Laden. He said on this program last week, forget Congress. They're going to approve. They have no choice. Pakistan is the master in this relationship. We are the slave. What do you say?
Well, first of all, Michael Schur, quite frankly, he's really been off the reservation on a lot of issues. And I don't necessarily agree with him entirely on this. And it's not just a question of whether the money keeps going or not. This is not – Pakistan, though, people like to joke, is not a country for hire. It's not even a country for rent, and it certainly can't be bought. What will make our cooperation work or not work – is not that the checks from Congress are a necessary but insufficient condition for this relationship to proceed forward. At the end of the day, what matters is the ability of folks in different agencies to work together. Now, this notion of them not trusting each other is absolutely for real, but they haven't trusted each other forever. I mean, that's also sort of a canard. But there needs to be a functional set of areas where our two countries can work.
All right, well, let's talk to Aisha about that for just a minute. Christine Fair, of course, a familiar voice on this program, assistant professor at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University. Aisha Siddiqui, is it business as usual in this sort of marginal trust relationship between the U.S. and Pakistan? Or do you agree with what Christine Fair is saying, that potentially a level of humiliation could be reached here in the rhetoric coming out of Washington that could fundamentally alter the relationship.
Well, I would agree with her to the extent that, yes, if you push too hard, we are then going in different directions. And we're not going to, there's little possibility of convergence. There is greater for divergence. And if you look at Pakistan-US relations, the history of it, it's very obviously a crisis brings us together. We think together, there is convergence. And as time, goes by, there is greater divergence. And we are at a point when there is divergence. Now, both countries can save the relationship by thinking more logically and more long-term about it, which is not pointing fingers, but admitting that, well, mistakes were made, there were blunders committed. But how do you move on from point A to point Z now?
All right, Aisha Siddiqa is the author of Military Inc. Inside Pakistan's Military Economy, speaking to us live from Islamabad, Pakistan. Less than a minute, Christine Fair. Is it possible that 5 years from now we'll look back on this moment and see it as bin Laden is dead? It actually removed an obstacle between the U.S. and Pakistan, and it was actually the beginning of a whole positive new relationship.
It's possible, but I really want to emphasize what Aisha noted about looking at long-term issues. It may sound strange to say, but bin Laden is not the long-term issue with Pakistan. He's dead. The issues that remain with Pakistan concern Pakistan's expanding nuclear arsenal and a whole host of other terrorist groups which continue to operate in and from Pakistan, most notably Lashkar-e-Taiba. And many of those groups had nothing to do with bin Laden. So we have long-term issues that, oddly enough, have just nothing to do with the old man.
And they're all on the table there in the Obama administration. Christine Fair, assistant professor at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University. Thanks so much.